and welcome back to Cinema Vino. Yeah. It's the next installment in our time travel series.
The penultimate installment.
Yeah, and the penultimate, that's exactly right. We've got Travis Budd.
Yoy.
Taylor Owens.
Hey.
And Sean Jordan.
Howdy.
And I'm Todd.
You are.
And I am Todd.
Wofford.
I am Todd.
And we're going to look at Army of Darkness.
Fuck yeah.
The third film in Sam Raimi's Evil Dead trilogy.
Is it exactly a trilogy?
Well, it's an original trilogy that has lived on in other installments.
There's going to be a fourth movie that comes out.
I feel like there was a first attempt, then there was a remake, and then there was a sequel.
Well, you know, he originally actually intended for this one to be another remake of 1 and 2 to recap that, and then they ended up just scrapping that, and they were just like, no, just make Army of Darkness. Mm, and yeah. Also, the original title for this was supposed to be Medieval Dead.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is pretty sweet.
Yeah. It would have been way cooler than Army of Darkness, right?
Yeah.
You got Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Medieval Dead.
Yeah. So this was released February 19th, 1993. That would be 29 years ago.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yikes.
Yeah. This features Bruce Campbell as Ash Williams. This film was a modest hit, grossed $25 million against $11 million budget. That's by far the biggest of the first three films in terms of budget. Did not enjoy as much of a high acclaim as the predecessors got, but has taken on a big cult following since then. People have grown to love it over time. The film picks up right where Evil Dead left off. And if you do see the previous two films, I don't know if you necessarily have to see the previous two films, but...
You just need to see two before this. I mean, and you don't have to.
And that's what I fucking love about this film. It's like, they're just like, go fuck yourself. You don't have to watch shit.
Sam Raimi just dropped into it. And he's like,
here's where we are.
Exactly.
Like you get a good recap. Yeah,
like the first 5 minutes, here you go.
Including a blink and you'll miss it, Bridget Fonda.
Yeah.
So I saw that.
And so, yeah, Ash finds himself and his Oldsmobile 88 transported back to the Middle Ages, where he is eventually lauded as a savior who can ward off the evil threat of deadites, who are demonic zombies terrorizing the land.
Yeah.
You said it was an Oldsmobile 88?
I believe it's an Oldsmobile 88.
It was in the 80s,
Sam Raimi's car.
It was actually Sam Raimi's car.
The original Evil Dead was in 81,
so it couldn't have been an 88.
Well, that's not the model year. That's the name of the...
That's a stupid name for a car.
It's an Oldsmobile 88. That's the name of the actual car, like Taurus or Camry.
I take it back. That's a stupid name for a car.
Because... I'll say my parents didn't have an 88. They had a Cutlass Supreme, but we definitely had an Oldsmobile when I was very, very little.
I actually had an Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It was forest green, bench seating.
Nice.
It's nice.
They just don't make them like that anymore.
They sure don't.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's solid metal, start to finish.
Although the new EV trend for car makers, they're making like the Ford Illuminator is an old Ford F-100 from like the 70s. It's an EV, so it has like the Mach-E engine, so it's super fast. They're doing like the Hyundai...
The Hyundai prototypes are pretty cool.
They have like the retro 70s, like a Crown Victoria.
Like old detective cars.
Yeah.
Sean, did you have the positive traction or what could it do over top dead center?
I tell you what, it had a lot of
ashtrays. Yeah.
A lot of ashtrays.
We need to bring those back.
Did it have the analog metallic clock with like the second hand, like the actual
metallic mint green?
Those are pretty sweet.
I wish.
Yeah. Or like the radio that took it all the way across the dial, you had to like move it across for the...
It was a 97 Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme, so it wasn't exactly like retro.
Yeah.
But it was a boat for sure.
Yeah. As for wine, we are drinking the Carl Lowen Riesling.
Carl.
2018.
Carl.
From the Moselle region of Germany. Moselle is actually a river flowing through Germany.
It's lovely.
Mm-hmm. And so... When you see Moselle on German wine, it refers to wines that come from that river valley.
Something you might take on like a fishing trip or...
It's great.
You know, cross-country drive.
I would say this is probably a medium dry, not bone dry Riesling.
Medium.
Definitely falls in the middle of because it's like you have some of the sticky sweets like the Auslaces. They can be super sweet or the Berner Auslaces. This is definitely, I would say, more along the cabinet style. Definitely a drier style of Riesling.
Cabernet.
Yeah. Good green fruit flavors. But yeah, you might even get some petrol flavors
on
there.
Petrol.
And Sean, It smelled like
fishing lures. That was my note that I got. Mm-hmm.
This one is the official sponsor of the Bass Pro.
Yeah, ooh, yeah. Exactly.
And
the Bassmasters are out there.
Bassmasters,
right? Yeah. Brought to you by Bassmasters.
Yeah. Before I learned that it was customary to call it petrol taste, I thought it smelled like it got poured out of a tire or like had like that.
So I mean,
like,
I mean,
this is good, but it smelled like it
so you're not
it smelled like a bike tire pump.
Yeah, so you're not wrong, but they also have a large team of marketing that when someone says this tastes like a tire, they go petrol.
Yes.
Yeah.
But no, and, it is really good. I do like it.
Which is just British for gas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it sounds cool.
Yeah,
yeah,
it does. It sounds so European.
European.
I'm just imagining the Bassmasters out there on the water. Like, boot. Hey, you got any more of that Gold Troken and Riesling? Get some of that out here, please.
What region of Germany is this from? Yeah. This is delicious.
If it doesn't come from Champagne, it ain't Champagne. It's just sparkling wine. Just let you know. That's just a Cremant.
I'll have the cream of some young guy.
that sounds good. I'll have that. So that's really all the plot that I had. That
is the plot.
There is very little
80 minutes. This is a lean movie. I mean, you have like the kingdom that has a wise man played by Seinfeld's Mr. Pitt, Ian Abercrombie, who also I believe voiced Emperor Palpatine in some of those Star Wars.
No shit.
Yeah, like the Clone Wars. He's the voice of Palpatine.
No.
So he advises that for Ash to return to his own time, he must find the Necronomicon. I don't know if I said that right.
But you
did. That's
definitely nailed it. Necronomicon.
That could be a comic con for necromancers. Either way, which would be an interesting.
It can be both.
Comic con. Yeah, a lot of warlocks at that.
God, that would be a smelly comic con. And comic cons are smelly already.
There'd be a lot of petrol in the air at that one.
Tell you what, necromancers are a smelly bunch.
Yeah. Oh, those horcruxes, they get stinky after a while.
Sure do.
But yeah, the Necronomicon is an evil occultist book of spells. Is that a fair classification?
It's written in blood, bound in human
flesh.
Yeah. Written on human flesh.
Yeah. What's the Ghostbusters 2, the
Sumerians?
Where he's like, you know, on a river Beagle. Of skulls, on a throne of pain for 1,000 years. It's like, that's kind of like this book. You know, it's made out of skin and blood.
No one knows where it came from.
Mm-hmm. So basically, this means Ash has to go on a quest to retrieve the tome and get back to his own time and his job at the S-Smart. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see what you guys think. I haven't seen this movie in a long time. I actually own this on VHS. I never bought it on DVD, but I actually bought it on VHS when it came out. So it's been that long for me. But
let's go this way this time.
Yeah. Sean, what'd you think?
Oh, I loved this movie. I thought it was all of the camp that you can possibly fit into a movie. Like, I had seen this before. This is definitely not my first go through, but I had forgotten just how campy this is.
Yes.
And oh my God, it's incredible.
An understatement.
Evil Dead 2 was sort of like a great success of Sam Raimi's because Evil Dead got such a cult following that he was able to like get a budget and make Evil Dead 2, which essentially was just a remake of Evil Dead 1, right? Mm-hmm. So with Army of Darkness, he wanted to do it again. He wanted to make a remake of Evil Dead 1 and 2 and sort of like, you know, have that be the first half and then he travels into the past. But I guess the producers were just like, no, just make the movie, make Army of Darkness. And so he really got to lean into it. He had a budget. I mean, God, I imagine most of the budget was just skeletons.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or like, the castle.
Yeah.
Yeah, the castle was just like probably just mostly cardboard, I think. Yeah. $11 million is not a huge budget.
Which, what is it? The Monty Python was like, oh, it's just a model. I'm talking about the castle.
It's just a model. But, I mean, the amount of campiness and the amount of like Sam Raimi essence of this movie is, it cannot be stated enough how much camp is in this movie.
It's vintage Sam Raimi.
It really is. And to see what he's done now, like in the most recent, like especially with like Spider-Man and most recently with like Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, you can really see that camp kind of play out in like a more serious tone and like a more funded tone.
Yeah. Subdued.
Yeah. But this is just nonstop camp. Oh, yeah. I mean, the one-liners from Bruce Campbell, just
which makes groovy. The fucking film.
Yeah,
yeah, yes. Just makes it.
Come here and give me some sugar, baby.
Yeah,
yeah. I've got my boomstick. Like,
yeah,
line, like these were made for like 1990s soundboards that were going to be like on the internet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's all that this was. It's just super fun from start to finish, and it's 80 minutes. Like, they waste zero time. Like, within the first 5-10 minutes, you're just immediately dropped into the action. I mean, there's no fat in this movie. And to see a movie like this, it's such a nice change of pace, especially, like, to see this among all the time travel movies that we've watched. I mean, this is, like, fifth?
Yeah.
In our time travel series.
Good palate cleanser.
Great palate cleanser. Oh, my God. So many, like, nerdy, just like, oh, we've built a time travel machine with our, well, the quantum leaps of the we got to find the waves from the quantum field. Like, and he's just like, oh, there's a magic book that sucked me into a vortex, and now I'm in the 1300s.
Yep.
He's almost in like a grungy Renaissance fair.
Yeah.
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 The mullet on King Arthur.
The bangs.
Yes. Yeah,
the bangs.
It reminds me when I tried to cut my own hair when I was
high
about
and
four.
Tight bangs.
And why? Yeah. And stop me if I'm wrong, but why that entire time did I think that was Nicolas Cage? Like, he had like this weird look, and I was like, is that Nicolas Cage? Like, did I miss this? I was like, I don't know why. I thought it was Nicolas Cage the entire time.
Ash, are you out of your freaking mind?
Oh, God.
We have to steal the Necronomicon.
Yeah.
No, but I loved it. I mean, this is a classic movie. I give this a solid 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
Okay. Before Tay goes, I need to mention this earlier. So you guys, I can't remember the second one of these, but there are, I feel like, nods Peter Jackson does in the Lord of the Rings movies.
Thank you, son of a bitch. I was going to fucking say that.
Okay, good. I just wanted everybody.
Throw my goddamn shoe at you.
You can talk about it first.
That's the first thing I thought of.
One line.
I want everybody to think about it because there's two of them and I can only remember one. But all right.
Well, the fun. Well, hello. Had a drink or two. So the first one was clearly just before the battle scene. And he was like, you have my axe. You have my... That was clearly that one.
Yes.
The second one, now, I'm not really thinking of that. But it was... Oh, that whole battle scene was Two Towers. In my 100% was to like it was like
Eric Helms Red Deep. Showing up.
Yeah, that was the entire scene, mm-hmm. And I was like, I could not. I loved it so much. I was like, this is amazing. But what was the second one?
That's my question. I want everybody to be thinking about it because I can't remember. I tried to write it down right before the podcast.
But it was like right when he asked, he was like, he's like, oh, who's all with us? And he was like, oh, he's like, I'm with you, my lord. And he was like, yeah, you have my sword. Like, I bow with my bow. And I was like, man, what the fuck? This is Lord of the Rings. I bend my bow to you. And I was like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
but yeah, the second one was after that, but I can't remember what
it was. No, but it was, that was... massive homage.
I
took Peter Jackson did, but this film was massively high for me. By the way, I after watching the previous film we had talked about, which was First Contact, this movie was a 10 fucking 11 out of 10 for me because it was just so easy.
Yeah,
and I'd seen it before, and but I was just, I hadn't seen it in a long time, and I was like, God damn. This is a fucking hilarious film.
It is.
And when you get into it, they give you the first 5 minutes. You're like, here's the story. So forget about the previous films. Bruce Campbell is fucking hilarious, man. I love his facial expressions. Like,
it's charismatic.
I mean, somehow they made his jaw bigger in the movie with prosthetics.
Yeah.
They were like, I know. Let's take his already gigantic chin and make it much, much
more
larger.
Square, please.
Exactly. It's like, it was like the Ace Ventura of like, he was a Jim Carrey for this.
Yeah.
His face, I was like, oh my God, like the little mini guys, his eyes. I was like, that was just amazing. And even the very end of it, when I was like, oh, okay, this film's finally over. It's campy. I fucking love it though. But when he has his fucking boomstick, his shotgun, and when he shoots no less than 10 to 15 times, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. As he's on like the little, like
the cart.
And I'm like, sir, that was at least 10 to 12 shots. And it was like, but I also, I fucking here for it.
That was a different gun though. That was the
yeah. But it was. But he just kept going.
Yeah.
And I was like,
was the lever action revolver?
Yeah. I was like, how many bullets are in this thing? I was like, but and I love it because of that film. I was like, oh my god. So this film to me is just outrageous. Because
I'm Ash
and
Home Goods,
and I'm pretty sure this was the first one I saw in this quote unquote series.
Yeah. Same.
Like this, this is the first one I saw in it. Went back and saw the other ones, and I was like, okay, this is not as good as this one. And after seeing it again, I was like, this is by far the best one of all of them.
Yeah, which is weird. Is this the best? Is this the only movie you can think of where the third movie is the best one in a trilogy? I mean, this is like not exactly a trilogy, but is there any other film series where the third one we're like, oh fuck yeah, this is the best?
How are we scoring Star Wars? So like the first Star Wars trilogy, Empire Strikes Back is the best one.
Yeah, it's the second.
Jedi is the worst one.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. In the prequel Star Wars trilogy, Clone Wars is the worst one, and Revenge of the Sith is the best one.
Okay.
So.
All right.
And that's if you think about that,
yeah, it's a real horse race.
Between Phantom Menace and clones.
Uh-huh.
That's a race to the bottom.
Yep.
So,
but yeah, that's the one I can think of where the third one is the best one. But it kind of sucks because that's also the sixth movie in the series, if you think about it.
Mm.
Some people will say they love Toy Story 3 the best of the three. I've heard people say
that. Toy Story 3 was excellent.
I haven't finished 2 or 3.
You should. Toy Story 3 will tug at your heartstrings.
Yes. Yeah, it will.
There was a fourth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, continue, Taylor. Oh, sorry.
No,
that was my question. No, the third one was the best one.
No, this was the first one you saw.
No, this is simple. I was like, I remember seeing it back in high school, and I'm like, this film was fucking awesome. Going back and kind of seeing the previous ones, I was like, yeah, this is great.
I was going to say, going back to watch Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2 after seeing Army of Darkness has to be kind of weird.
It was weird. It was. Yeah. Like, I think I liked the first one. I can't remember what
the first Evil Dead.
Yeah, the first Evil Dead.
I think we went back and saw it, and that's the one with the weird. The vine got way too frisky with some gal.
Oh yeah,
I was like,
it's a real rapey tree.
Yeah, I was like, what is happening with this one? And then I saw Evil Dead 2, and it's like the people who watched the first one were like, this is kind of hilarious.
Yeah,
and then they were like, oh my god, it's a comedy. Oh. And then they remade it. And Evil Dead 2 is much more comedic, and I enjoy it better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I obviously have to go back and watch those, but this one, just the comedic value, or it's like, I was just giggling 99% of the time. And even when he was like riding away on his horse, he falls off the horse. And I'm like, it's just that shot of the whole camera chasing him the entire time. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
And I was like, it was almost comical. And I'm like, you know what? They embraced what they were going to do. And they fucking knocked it out of the park. Like, they just fucking did it. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck yeah. And yeah, so to me, this film, I am so glad I rewatched it because I'm just like, this is maybe one of my top films.
Yeah.
I fucking just loved it. It hit every aspect that I needed it to do.
So on the subject of his boomstick, I read Roger Ebert's review, which I remember it from back in the day, but he said he wondered in the theater, like, pretty much out loud, like, how do you reload a shotgun when you have a chainsaw?
Exactly. An arm? Yeah.
And then he realized, like, oh wait, no, it never runs out of bullets. Stupid me.
It also has a mystical amount of power. I just like that the same weapon that does pretty minimal damage to like a wall is enough to shoot somebody in the face and like make them do a whole bunch of cartwheels.
Yes.
Kind of Looney Tunes physics.
The Looney Tunes physics is strong in this movie.
Yeah. Which I love.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Like I say, this is the most like bizarre off the wall one that we've done yet for time travel.
Insane camp.
Yeah.
Just camp nonstop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More campy than Bill and Ted, and that's not a small feat.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
I would say that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More campy.
So, Sean, what was your score?
I was a 7.5. Taylor, you were 11?
11 out of 10.
You were 11. I was 11.
That's okay. A Spinal Tap score.
Yeah, I was 11 after First Contact. Yeah. If I would probably say around an 8, just cutting back. But goddamn, I'm damn close to saying a 9 because it was. And I don't know if it was like a refresher, but I remember when I first saw it, this film, I was like, this film fucking slaps. And maybe it just hit me at the right time, but I still loved it again.
It was the film you needed.
And it still is. Yeah. It's the film I needed today.
Yeah.
So like, just more movies need this, like, concentration of one-liners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Hail to the King, baby.
Hail to the King. That last kiss, you know, it's just like, just grabs her. It's like, oh.
Hey, she bitch.
Yep.
And that you was primitive screwheads.
That was the moment that Peter Jackson took from this movie, right? Is when Aragorn says, "Hey, she bitch." I don't remember which movie that was from. Fellowship, I think.
Yeah. Probably.
If you want him, come and claim him.
Ooh. She bitch.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's Travi.
So I will say I love this film. It was also the first of the Evil Dead trilogy that I had seen. And so when I went back and watched the other films, I'm like, well, these are not as good.
Yeah.
So we were talking about Lord of the Rings nods, and then Sean jogged my memory on the last one. So there's Bruce Campbell giving his speech to all the guys before the battle. And them all being like, oh, well, you can have my bow and you know, well, I'll stand by you and all that stuff. There's also Eric the Red and all his boys coming at the last minute, like the charge during Helm's Deep.
Look to the east on the third day.
Hey, Merrin Gandalf. But the last one I could not remember that Peter Jackson definitely gave a nod to was them creating black powder and then handing it off to the wise man. And he's like, holding it above the candle to look at it, and he grabs the thing and he's like, no, knock that shit off. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Which is the same thing Saruman, Christopher Lee, does, yeah. Wormtongue.
Yeah.
Where he's like, oh, how can fire destroy stone? He's like, knock that shit off. Jeez.
Man. Yeah. Helm's Deep has one weakness.
But I like that it gives you that campy very beginning to, like, all of Sam Raimi's stuff is, he really likes... he uses a lot of tricks from yesteryear and his stuff. Like, obviously, he used the claymation of Ray Harryhausen, which is very Jason and the Argonauts and very, what is it, Clash of the Titans, I think, where the, Sinbad. Sinbad and Jason and the Argonauts is Harryhausen, where he has all, like, the skeleton fights.
Sinbad was in this movie?
One of the Sinbad movies, he fights a skeleton. And then in Jason and the Argonauts, they're like, hey, we did one skeleton. Now let's do six.
I believe Clash of the Titans is also Harryhausen.
Well, yeah, but it didn't have skeletons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there was that nod, too. And then all of Raimi's camera moves, where he either does, like quick cuts during a montage where Bruce Campbell is cobbling together stuff in the shed, or when he's doing he's like doing quick zooms when he's making, because obviously you don't want to have a two-handed actor always having to hide his one hand during, so they're like, let's give him, I guess, a weird robot gauntlet. So that whole montage where he's like, take that gauntlet, zoom, and then fade, he's like, okay, over here, and we're doing, like, it's just a quick, weird, like, I don't know.
Fast, aggressive cuts.
It's a very Raimi-esque shot. I don't know how to explain it better than that. And then, you know, they do the same thing during montages later. He's doing very quick zooms, or he's doing pans where a bunch of characters, like, whenever they're throwing somebody in the pit in the beginning, and one guy's like, fuck this, and is running. And they show him shooting the crossbow, and the crossbow, you follow the arrow until it shoots the dude. And then everybody sits there and turns and looks, and they're like, oh, fuck. And then they turn back to look at Bruce Campbell, and they pan the whole camera backwards through the entire crowd of them all snapping their necks, looking back, and then zooming back on him.
You also see that with the fork in the cabin going into the little mini ash.
Oh, yeah.
You see the little...
But he does that a lot with a whole bunch of pans of I don't know. It's just his camera movements. I can see them. I can see his. Yeah.
You
his
know who else has used that before? Is Quentin Tarantino. I feel like he used that in Kill Bill. A lot of like the quick like pans with like grabbing stuff and just like
Yeah. He did the quick snappy edits there, but. Yeah, there's something very Raimi-esque about it. I don't know how to fully explain it. But, yeah, the camp in this is great. It reminds me a little bit of nods of, I don't know, Robin Hood Men in Tights with how, yeah, how weird and campy it is. But all of the lines in it are cool. And it's just, I never saw this film because I thought it was going to be, as a kid, I thought it was going to be super, super scary. And it probably would have been for me super young. But I always remember seeing it in full page ads and all the comics I was reading at the time. Because it had great poster art.
Well, yeah, him with there, chainsaw arm, it was very, and a shotgun.
Like, Frank Frazetta. He's like, yeah, got his shotgun, got his girl, got his chainsaw. I was like, this metal as fuck. I don't know what album this is.
Basically,
I would buy
basically
it.
Your t-shirt right now.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, it was so fucking good. I wanted more chainsaw in it, honestly, after seeing it on the poster.
That's true. Most movies I've ever seen.
Need more chainsaw.
Yeah, I need more chainsaw.
Yeah, more chainsaw. Yeah. And yeah, just the campiness of him, having a little Gulliver's Travel nod, getting like tied up by his little guys, and it was so zany and over the top. I was like, this is terrible, but I was laughing the entire time.
Yeah,
But in the perfect way.
Yeah, exactly.
I went on to IMDb like I always do with most movies we watch, and I was looking at like the goofs and like the trivia. One of the goofs was like, well, when he breaks the mirror, it is a, it's a reflective backed mirror, which did not exist. It didn't, and wasn't invented until 1895. And I was like,
anachronisms
of all the things. There's an Oldsmobile in this movie. Yeah. Like, who cares about what kind of mirror he's using?
Yeah.
100%. I love a movie that can like break the fourth wall and like do that anachronistic stuff without me caring. Like most movies, I would care. I'd be like, oh, well, that's stupid. They didn't do their research. But Sam Raimi, I'm like, Sam Raimi was writing this movie and was just like, what kind of mirrors do they use back then? Oh, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It's like, no, and they use what? Klaatu, Barada, and Nikto, which is some other film.
Day of the Earth Stood Still.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. That's the password.
Yeah.
In the Day of the Earth Stood Still. Yeah.
But yeah, just all the tropes that a normal hero is supposed to go through that he just fucks up all the way there.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, well, I don't know. Fuck it. I got a shotgun. What are you going
to
do?
It kind of reminds me of like a D&D trope of like, you get to a point, you have to do a roll for like intelligence and just you don't pass.
Like, yeah.
It's just like Klaatu, Barada, inward.
He fails into success.
No.
100%. So I will say, oddly, while we were talking about it, I think this is a straight up 10 film for me.
10.
Because like if you know what you're getting into and you're watching it, this is exactly what you need. It's only an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
If it sucks, it's only an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you have to be in the mood, but like, I couldn't find anything to fault in this.
And and there weren't a lot of down moments either. It's like, I mean, every single, like zero, every scene, there was something going on.
It was super quick. Not every 10 film has to be Godfather or Jaws. Like I get, those are both, for me, those are 10 films. But this one, oddly, fuck it. Yeah. It's a 10.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a perfect film.
It's a 10. You know, it's like you look at Godfather, it's a 10 no matter what, no matter when, no matter what you grade it against. A movie like this is a 10. It's like, especially when you're watching it in the right mood, right frame of mind, it's like it hits you in the right way, or it reminds you of certain things. It's like it hits you like it's a 10 in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're watching it for the first time, you're not going to know. It's a little bit Guardians of the Galaxy. You got to get like into the mood of it and be like, okay, I'm getting it. Like I get the language of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as for me, I would say that this is, I mean, I'd give it like probably 7. I wavered 6.5 or 7. When I'm going to review it, it's probably somewhere in that range. Definitely enjoyable. I definitely, like you, enjoyed it the most out of the three Evil Dead movies, the first three. You know, it's like, I would say Bruce Campbell fits this role in the same way Bruce Willis fits Die Hard. Harrison Ford fits Indiana Jones. It's like, I don't know if these movies would work if he wasn't in them. I don't know how well they
tried.
Well, yeah. And that's what I'm curious about with the Evil Dead 4 that's going to be coming out this year is... he's producing it, but he's not actually acting in it.
Yeah. There's Bruce already been another Evil Dead.
Well, there's the Ash vs. Evil Dead TV show. Yeah. It's a TV show.
But there's already been another movie remake of the original Evil Dead.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, four years ago. Continue. Yeah.
But, I mean, there's a movie coming out this year, 2022.
But I mean, either way, he makes these movies. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
He is the character, and there was good homage to him in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, where his hand attacks himself.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Where he's the little pizza balls vendor.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he'll be doing that for a couple weeks. Yeah, yep. Whatever it is.
Yeah, there was another Evil Dead a remake in 2013. And it was just called Evil Dead. It was no Ash or anything in that. And I didn't watch it because I was either. Like, no Bruce Campbell, no Ash character of any kind. Like, the fuck? That's not Evil Dead.
I really enjoyed Bruce Campbell.
I heard it was so good.
Whatever character he played in Burn Notice on
USS. Oh, shit. Yeah. Yeah. I forgot about that.
You know, he was in all those Raimi Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he was supposed to be Quentin Beck, who Jake Gyllenhaal was later. He was just going to be have so many different roles, and eventually he was going to be the villain Mysterio. Yeah. And I was like, this is fucking perfect, and that's perfect casting, too, for the campy stunt movie magic guy in the comics, Quentin Beck as Mysterio. Like, he would have been great, especially in a Raimi film. Fuck yeah, I still want to see that film.
Yeah. I love that Raimi keeps putting him in every movie he does.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just, why not?
Yeah. I mean, to me, I wrote that this is like, if you're a horror fan, you're a B-movie fan, or even if you're like a fantasy nerd, this movie will have something that will appeal to you, especially in the sense of a satire. You know, it'll be funny. You'll find something funny within it. So, yeah, I loved it. It's a lot of fun. It's just a good, like, junk food, check your brain kind of movie. So, you know, but yeah, it's good. I've enjoyed it as much as any movie I think we've done.
Yeah.
For time travel purposes. So it's good. I liked it.
It's definitely a great palate cleanser, change of pace movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For everything else we've been watching.
It's in the perfect spot in our lineup.
It is. Right in that five hole.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it when they take the jokes a little too far and then they're like, all right, this is about done. Like all those skeleton hands where they're just attacking him and then
pull his mouth like, apart. Yeah,
pull his mouth apart, and then they his nose,
hit him
in the eyes, and
they give him the old Three Stooges attack.
That was a great
and then
Three
finally
Stooges homage.
They put one in his mouth. He's like trying to stand up, and they hit him in the balls. I'm like, oh,
he's like, oh great. But his face always is like, oh, everything was just so perfect about that.
His facial expressions are on point for this.
And even some of the shots, I watched them this time. It's like, these had to be difficult, like where he falls out of the vortex and then the freaking Oldsmobile hits the ground behind him.
Yes.
Like, that's one take.
How do you time that?
You can't do that again. I mean, you can't like bust that car up a second time unless you put it back together. So they had to get that right the first
time. Well, and I was trying to think about like how you could do that with movie magic and like do it as two shots and then sort of like splice them together. You can't. Mm-mm. They're like, there's dust flying and.
No.
And that was the actress that played Sheila. She was in Matilda.
She's been in a few things, yeah.
She's been in several. She was Helen Heech in Schindler's List. But I love that actress, too.
Yeah.
But obviously, her character did not pass the Bechdel test in this little.
She didn't pass a lot of tests. Well,
she wasn't given a lot to do in this film. But to be fair, it was just straight up 90s. They're like, we need our action hero guy to go do things. And I kind of love that, just like.
She was in, we have podcasted with her in something else.
She was not here on the show.
No, but we've done
do
a movie.
Do you not
with,
remember when she
called
was here?
Yeah, she called in.
We've done a movie with her, 13 Ghosts. She was in that.
Yeah.
I had to think of it. It's like she's been in something. Mm-hmm. I get her and Rachel Weisz confused for some reason, but it's like, I don't know why.
I didn't see that.
They're foreign and brunette, so, you know, narrows it down.
Wow, racist.
But yeah, it's been
She was in 13 Ghosts.
This has been another episode of Cinema Vino.
Army of Darkness. Good shit.
Great movie.
Watch it if you haven't.
It is a phenomenal film.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
It's good stuff.
Honestly, as I was watching, I was like, man, it's been too long since I've seen this.
Honestly, same. I liked the fucking like intro on it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was like the whole like Star Wars, you know, like to give like a little intro. I'm like, oh yeah.
This is like last time on X-Men.
Yeah. I was like,
previously.
Yeah. I get that. Beautiful.
And it's just so goofy. Even the, even the recap is goofy.
Oh, and his voiceover was like, so I thought.
Went into my hand and it went bad.
Yeah. Like, I thought I'd be back. I was like, so I thought. I'm like, what the fuck?
So weird in HD where he goes, it went into my hand and went bad. And they just show it crackling up. And I was like, that's a fucking Sharpie. That's like time lapse. And they just, I was like, it's time lapse and it's cool, but like in HD, yep, that's Sharpie.
Yeah. That's Sharpie.
Unforgiving.
Yeah, and maybe so a Chinese jet pilot.
But yeah, this has been another Cinema Vino, and we thank you guys very much. Yeah, we're doing, just to recap on the wine, Karl Lowen Riesling Mosel.
Karl!
It's a good off-dry white.
It was.
We liked it a lot.
Those whites.
But yeah.
Sure does.
We thank you guys very much. Next time we're going to finish up with Back to the Future for our time travel series.
BTF.
And then we're going to draw
back
some.
Back in time.
Man, BTF sounds like a porn genre.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a boy band.
Yeah. It's like, I'm open to it.
Or an acronym for some kind of sexual move.
So, yeah, so it's like, hey.
Hey, girl, are you BTF?
Hey, BTF.
Also, only like after a boy band.
Because I'm not wearing white.
Yeah, it's a combination of BTS and WTF.
Well, BTF would be like a Korean boy band.
Yeah.
K-pop. That's all that there is.
Yeah, K-pop, yeah.
K-pop's another sexual acronym, depending on where you're from.
I see. It's been a drought for me since I last got K-popped.
But do you think it's been about like eight years?
6 months?
2 weeks?
43 seconds?
Yeah.
But who's counting? So anyway, yeah, not with a bang, but hopefully with a bang pretty soon.
Ooh, with a boom.
Yeah.
Or a boomstick.
Yeah.
There are many boomsticks like this, but this one's mine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we will see you guys next time.
Catch you on flip-flop.
Later.
Be sure to listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our website is cinemavino.net, and reviews of these films can be found at Todd Wofford Movie.